Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Maximilian Schöberl, Director of Corporate Affairs. I would like to welcome you to our telephone conference for the third quarter and first nine-month results. With me today are Dr. Norbert Reithofer, Chairman of the Board of Management of BMW AG, and Dr. Friedrich Eichinger, our CFO. First, Dr. Reithofer will give you an update on the business performance during the first nine months of 2013. Dr. Eichinger will then take you through our financial results for the third quarter and the first nine months of the year as well. Afterwards, we will have time for our Q&A session. Mr. Reithofer, please go ahead.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We remain on track to achieve our targets for the business year 2013. A new sales record at group level, a pre-tax profit similar to last year's. This is assuming that the economic and political conditions do not worsen significantly. Where do we stand after the first 9 months? Worldwide, we sold more than 1.4 million cars. That's a new BMW Group sales record. Our group pre-tax profits was more than 6 billion euros, which is around the same high level we achieved in the same period last year. Group net profit stood at more than 4 billion euros, which is slightly higher than last year. And the EBIT margin in our automotive segment was 9.5%, which is at the upper end of the target range we set ourselves for profitability. We achieved this despite the continued decline in total market sales in Europe. Buyer hesitation in Southern Europe seems to have extended to Central Europe. But as a global company, we continue to profit from an approach based on a balanced worldwide growth. Between January and September, we achieved growth on nearly every continent. In Europe, in Asia and China, in Americas and in the USA, the BMW Group remains the market leader in the global premium segment. Every one of our core series vehicles is segment leader, the BMW 1 Series, the 3, 5 and 7 Series, the 6 Series and the X1. Many of you came to see us at the Frankfurt Motor Show. There, we showed you the strength of the product portfolio of the BMW Group and as an important multi-brand automotive company. Our focus remains only on the premium sector. That's what our BMW Mini and Rolls-Royce automobiles and our BMW Motorrad motorcycles stand for. In Frankfurt, we also showed customers what they can expect from us in the not-too-distant future. The BMW 4 Series Coupe, the third-generation BMW X5, and the Rolls-Royce Wraith are just a few examples. In the year 2013, we will have launched a total of 14 new models. We are offering our customers a young, attractive product portfolio. Further attractive models will be introduced in 2014, including several high-performance M models. At the same time, we are breaking new ground in technology. We are setting new milestones in our company's history. The BMW brand will introduce front-wheel drive, and a new range of three-cylinder engines is set to power the new Mini. With our BMW i8, we are launching a real brand shaper for plug-in hybrid technology. Plug-in hybrid technology can also reduce fuel consumption in sports activity vehicles. The BMW Concept X5 eDrive demonstrates this using just 3.8 liters of fuel per 100 kilometers. BMW Motorrad will also enter the world of electric mobility with the launch of the C-Evolution in 2014. In just a few days from now, on the 16th of November, we will launch the all-electric BMW i3. The radical approach behind this car makes it an enabler and pace setter in the consistent application of lightweight construction. Our BMW i brand is opening up new opportunities for carbon technologies in the series production of conventional vehicles. Not only does carbon assist in bringing CO2 emissions down even further, it is also making vehicles safer. With regard to the future, a few areas of focus are developing new technologies, investing in our facilities and production plants, creating innovative mobility services, and offering the right training for our associates. We are making these investments from a position of strength, and we are making them early. This is consistent with the long-term focus of the BMW Group. Despite these extensive advance investments in our future, and despite the volatility of the markets, we want to remain profitable. That means an EBIT margin in the automotive segment of between 8 and 10%. The business segments, BMW Motorrad and our financial services, will also contribute to the group's success. Last month, BMW Motorrad celebrated its 90th anniversary. As you know, the first ever BMW built back in 1923 was not a car but a motorcycle. Since that time, BMW Motorrad has sold more than 2.8 million motorcycles to customers around the world. And in perfect time for its anniversary celebration, BMW Motorrad is at the top of its game. Sales figures for the first 9 months are at new record levels, totaling more than 93,000 units. We achieved this despite the fact that the motorcycle markets relevant to us have continued to decline. Our Motorrad business will continue to grow profitably, and it remains an integral part of the BMW Group. Another issue in securing our future is the need for appropriately qualified employees. First and foremost, we need engineers, experts, and specialists, as well as upcoming generations of young associates. In the third quarter of this year, some 1,400 apprentices began their career with the BMW Group. Of those, 1,200 work at locations in Germany. At the end of the third quarter, employee numbers have risen by 5% to reach more than 109,000 associates worldwide. Ladies and gentlemen, no matter where the BMW Group operates, we take our role of a responsible corporate citizen seriously. This holds true for the 140 countries in which we sell our cars. It is also true for every one of our 28 production plants in 13 countries. As the leading player in the automotive industry's premium sector, we will continue to shape not only our future, but that of our industry. Through this, we will continue to strengthen the global reputation of Made in Germany. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Reithofer. Mr. Eichinger, please go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon from my side as well. The BMW Group once again performed well in the third quarter. We are on the right track, both strategically and operationally. We will continue our efforts on preparing the company for the future. Our target is to assure the long-term competitiveness of the BMW Group. That is more important than short-term profit. The group's profitability is fully in line with expectations. Our EBT margin of 10.6% for the third quarter was on par with that of last year. The automotive segment achieved an EBIT margin of 9% for the third quarter and 9.5% for the first 9 months. Sound profitability forms the basis for our extensive upfront investments. Our business environment has remained challenging, with the situation in the European markets no less difficult than before. With a few exceptions, the Western Europe auto market continues to decline, resulting in intense competition. In Europe, BMW Group sales remain stable from last year, while our major US and Chinese markets and many emerging markets reported double-digit growth. Thanks to our balanced global presence, the BMW Group was able to achieve healthy volume growth. Our retail sales of 1.436 million vehicles in the year to the end of September represents an increase of 7.5% over the same period last year. At 18.75 billion euros, third quarter group revenues were almost at the same level as the previous year. Growth in the new leasing business led to higher intersegment revenue eliminations, which caused revenue development to lag behind sales growth. More intense competition and negative currency conversion effects also curtailed revenues. Adjusted for currency effects, revenues were 4.4% higher year on year. Group pre-tax earnings stood at 1.989 billion euros in the third quarter and reached 6.024 billion euros after the first 9 months. While this is unchanged from the previous year, the same period of 2012 benefited from a positive one-off effect of 124 million euros in the financial services segment. Adjusted for this effect, pre-tax earnings would have risen by 2% year-on-year. The BMW Group is forging ahead with the development of new vehicle projects and alternative technologies as we prepare for the future today. We are taking the strict CO2 requirements seriously, which will come into effect in the European Union and other markets in 2020. And we will continue to prepare the company to meet these ambitious targets. Early preparation has served us well in the past. Our Efficient Dynamics package has earned us a competitive edge since its introduction in 2007. Back then, we were the first car company to voluntarily implement efficiency measures across the fleet as standard. In line with our strategy, we are also investing in expanding our production network and improving process efficiency. Strengthening our brands and further enhancing customer care are also continuously in focus. These areas require additional upfront investments of around 1 billion euros this year. This will remain affect the automotive segment and impact the fourth quarter to a significant extent. R&D expenditure for the first 9 months rose to 3.2 billion euros. This represents an increase of 14% over the previous year. The R&D ratio for the year to the end of September stood at 5.8% of group revenues, just above our target range of 5 to 5.5%. The R&D ratio for the full year will also be above this targeted range. The BMW Group's capital expenditure for the first 9 months totaled 4.3 billion euros. Most of this sum was invested in capacity expansion, new technologies, and model ramp-ups. The CapEx ratio for the first 9 months stood at 7.8% of revenues. As previously announced, we will exceed our CapEx ratio of below 7% of revenues over the full year. This will enable the BMW Group to enhance its future competitiveness and secure its business model through the targeted investments in its premium brands, its products, and technologies. Investment levels and R&D expenditure will remain high next year. We expect 2013 and 2014 to be the peak years with significant upfront investments in future projects. For the year to the end of September 2013, group liquidity totaled more than 10.7 billion euros, giving us a solid financial position. Now let's move on to the automotive segment, which bore the lion's share of the upfront investments in future projects and the challenging conditions in the European markets I referred to before. In the third quarter, segment revenues reached nearly 17.2 billion euros and remain almost unchanged year on year. Also, currency conversion effects dampened the revenue development. EBIT for the automotive segment totaled almost 1.55 billion euros, a decrease of 6% compared with the same period of last year. despite the high level of investment in future projects and despite persistent challenges in European markets, we still expect EBIT margin for the full year to remain within our target range of 8%-10%. The fourth quarter is traditionally impacted by higher costs and CapEx, with many projects built at the end of the year. This effect will be significant in 2013 and feed through to the segment's profitability. In addition, we'll see ramp-up and marketing expenses for the new models set to boost sales next year. After 9 months, the positive business trends within the segment are reflected in a strong operating cash flow and a free cash flow of 2.45 billion euros. Despite the high level of capital expenditure in the fourth quarter, we still expect to generate a free cash flow below 3 billion euros for the full year. As per the end of September, net financial assets in the automotive segment amounted to 12.4 billion euros and therefore remain at a very healthy level. Ladies and gentlemen, the financial services segment continues to benefit from strong new business and attractive refinancing conditions. However, we are seeing slightly narrower margins due to increasing competition. The strong demand for financial services and our positive operating performance have largely continued in the third quarter. For the same period, pre-tax profit amounted to 398 million euros, a decrease of 6.4% year-on-year. The third quarter of 2012 benefited from a positive effect of 46 million euros from end-of-lease business. Adjusted for this effect, quarterly earnings would have increased by 5%. Financial services leased or financed 45% of new BMW Group vehicles in the first 9 months of 2013. This higher penetration rate is essentially due to growth in new business in the United States, where the premium segment continues to expand at a dynamic rate. The risk situation in the segment is largely unchanged from the previous quarter. Credit risk remains stable. And also, the situation in southern European markets remains challenging. There are no signs of further deterioration. There has been little change in the residual value risks. Used car prices remain stable in the Americas and Europe, while the southern European markets have stabilized at a low level. Our proactive risk management makes the necessary provisions to cover potential market risks. Let's take a look at our motorcycle segment. BMW Motorrad continued to defend its position in a declining market. While the motorcycle market contracted by 4.3% worldwide, the segment's retail sales for the year to the end of September climbed 8.4% to 93,154 units. New models in particular, such as the F800 GT and the R1200 GS, contributed to the sales growth. Segment revenues year to September rose 1.6% to reach a total of 1.23 billion euros. The motorcycle segment achieved an EBIT of 93 million euros for the first 9 months, an increase of 13.4% from the previous year. Ladies and gentlemen, we expect group sales development to remain largely positive for the rest of the year and are targeting single-digit sales growth for 2013, despite weak Western European markets. Of course, we cannot rule out the possibility of a global downturn, the associated risk for our business. The group is still targeting pre-tax earnings for the full year on a similar scale to that reported in 2012. In the automotive segment, EBIT margin is likely to remain within our target range of 8%-10%. The target for the financial services segment is a return on equity of at least 18%. We also expect the positive business development in the motorcycle segment to continue. The BMW Group is creating the necessary conditions to sustain a successful business. We are able to confirm our guidance for the full year, assuming that economic and political conditions do not worsen significantly. As already mentioned, the fourth quarter will be impacted to a greater extent by CapEx and costs. The BMW Group is in an excellent position for 2014. Our young and attractive product portfolio will provide new momentum in sales. Over the coming year, we will introduce quite a number of brand new models. We also expect this year's new launches to generate growth in their first full year on the market. There is currently no substantial improvement in the operational environment in sight. The economic forecast for the Eurozone is cautiously positive. Also, the situation in parts of Europe will remain challenging. Growth forecasts for the major emerging markets of Brazil, Russia, and India have been lowered slightly. We remain confident about China and the U.S. We will continue on our strategic course, working to strengthen our earning power and our competitiveness, and standing by our profitability targets. At the same time, we are making the high upfront investments needed to prepare the BMW Group successfully for the challenges of the future. We will continue to take action and set new standards, and we will continue to expand our leading position in the premium segment. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Eichinger. Ladies and gentlemen, the line will shortly be open for questions. Please wait for some technical advice.
Dear ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question comes from Ms. Christina Church from Barclays. Please go ahead, madam.
Yes, hello, it's Christina Church. Thank you for taking my questions. My first question just relates to CapEx, and I know you're saying that 13 and 14 are peak years. Will 14 be as high a level of CapEx as in 13, or will there be some step down? And then related to that, on the capitalization rate of CapEx, as I understood it, the spending for the I brand was expensed up front. So should we expect the high level of capitalization that we saw in Q3 to continue going forward? Then my second question is on cash and what level of cash you see as being required for your underlying business and to service your sort of financial services business as well. So I'm trying to get at sort of your relationship with the dividend policy and what sort of payout you will look to be able to achieve in the medium term. And then my final question is more housekeeping in terms of FX. If you could give some update on how much hedging you have in place for 2014. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Christina. Your question will be answered by Mr. Eichinger. Please.
Well, Christina, first your question about the CapEx. Well, we expect 2014 to be another year of higher CapEx, and we will definitely exceed our target range of 7% in 2014. But having said this, our budgeting process is not yet finalized, so we don't have fixed a final number and taken a decision. And 13 and 2014 should be the peak years, so we expect then from 2015 onwards to manage CapEx down in below the target range of 7%. So that's actually how we look at it. Now, capitalization, that is driven by the product portfolio and should be in a, within our range of 30 to 40% next year as well. Then the I brand, you're absolutely right. All the upfront R&D spendings were not capitalized, so that is already digested. And your last question, two questions left. So one is about the cash. We feel confident with a level of around 10 billion, maybe a bit more going forward. This is for us the right level of cash to protect our business and our rating. And the final update on the exchange rate, exchange hedging. Now, you know that we are not disclosing numbers, but I can give you much confidence that we have a solid position for 2014.
Thank you very much. Very clear.
Thank you very much, Mr. Eichinger. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Jose Asumendi from JP Morgan. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, Jose, JP Morgan. A couple of items, please. The first one, could you please clarify if the 8-10% margin guidance is excluding currency headwinds? And sorry to come back again to Future One costs and currency, but could you please clarify what could be the additional headwinds on the profit bridge for 2014? The final one on CapEx, actually, there must be some one-offs in Q3 CapEx-wise that are not going to be repeated next year. So maybe could you please quantify, what kind of one-offs have we seen in Q3? And also if you could please guide on Q4 CapEx, if it's going to be higher on a year-on-year basis. Last question for Dr. Reithofer, please. On the electric car strategy, I cannot help just noticing that your German peers are not developing a new brand to sell electric cars. So I guess my question is, when you took the strategic decision to develop a new brand, what drove you to take this decision? And if you think about the business 2 to 3 years on the road, could you turn around the strategy and could you start offering your current product offering based on an electric drive platform? Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Jose. I think we start with Mr. Reithofer and then Mr. Eichinger. Mr. Reithofer, please.
Look, for us, the reason behind our decision was, in principle, we have in our group on the BMW side two bookends. Mm-hmm. One bookend is the BMW M brand for high-performance vehicles, and on the other side is BMW I for, let me say, very sustainable cars with electric drive, pure electric vehicles, and so on. And we said, and in the middle is our core brand, BMW, and both bookends, BMW M and BMW I, let me say, will move up our core brand, BMW. So that was the reason behind, and what other companies are doing, they have to decide. That was our decision.
Thank you very much. Mr. Eichinger?
Yeah, so your first question about the 8 to 10% margin and the context to with the FX, we don't see that FX headwind will jeopardize the margin this year. Having said that, you know that we are calculating with a more or less balanced rate that is based on buying power equilibrium, and as long as the rates are not going too far away from this benchmark, I think the 8 to 10% should be achievable if we are getting in a really situation where the euro would be very, very strong, then we definitely have to look at it in a different way, but I don't see that and don't foresee that for 2014 and now for 2013. What impact are we expecting for 2014? As I said, we have not finalized our budget plans, but basically having the hedging position in mind, there should not be a big headwind coming, but also not a big tailwind. It will be a smaller impact. And it's the same in 2013. So FX overall could have a small negative impact, a kind of a headwind, in a low two-digit million a number. So that's at least what we could expect for this year. The overall, no strong headwind or tailwind this year, and the same expectation for next year. Then the question about the CapEx. So looking at our numbers, so the CapEx was 29% in the third quarter of the CapEx we spent so far. It has a lot to do, it's not a one-off, it has to do with the ramp-up of capacity, with the launch of the new models, with the preparation of our plans for the new technology. It's a plan that will lead us to higher CapEx ratios this year and next year. We are aware of this and we disclosed it and it's now coming. So, and we should expect more to come in the fourth quarter as we disclosed.
So we should be thinking about more than 7 billion this and next year, CapEx-wise?
Well, I don't, as I said, as we have no finalized budget, we cannot shoot a number now. But I would say, the, as I said, the ratio will be above 7% next year. That is what we expect.
Okay. There was another little one on Future One costs. If you have in mind a figure for next year, if you don't have any, it's fine. But if you have a figure in terms of additional costs.
Not yet quantified, right? Could be some incremental, but I don't expect the same order of magnitude we've seen this year on the incremental side.
Okay, thank you.
Good, thank you very much, gentlemen. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Charles Winston from Redburn. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi, it's Charles Winston from Redburn. I just wanted to look at the cash moves on the balance sheet. It looks to me as if you had free cash positive around about 600 million, but the amount of cash on the balance sheet fell by about 800 million, suggesting there was a transfer elsewhere in the group, I understand, to the holding company level. I guess a few questions. Is that thought process correct? If so, I can't find any cash in the other entities' bit of the balance sheet. So I was just wondering how much cash you now have in the holding company level, if that's where it's gone to. And what's it for? In other words, what's the thinking of pulling that cash out of the automotive division into elsewhere, into the group? And sort of therefore, how much more might we see? In other words, is this a one-off item, or is this something which we might see more of? And what's sort of the ideal position of cash for this other bit of the balance sheet at the holding company level? If you could just help me understand those sorts of transfers, that'd be really useful. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Charles. Good question, by the way. And I give to Mr. Eichinger.
Well, the segment other entities primarily reports the figures for our holding companies and treasury centers, whose primary task is to efficiently allocate funds within a group. Therefore, it is logical to transfer funds, including equity-sourced funds, to these entities when the funds are needed for the operational business, not needed for the operational business sector, such as our national sales companies in the automotive segment. So we are using it for a flexible financing approach in the group. That's what we are doing, basically. And that's the reason why we are flexibly transferring those cash funds. That's the whole story about the other entities and the reason why we have them.
Sorry, to follow up there, but given that we can't see them in the other entities' balance sheet, the cash figure, I think it's about 50 million or something at the end of the period, could you tell us how much there now is at the holding company level? And what the ideal position would be. In other words, once they leave the automotive division, it's very difficult for those of us outside the group to track where they go and what they're used for. And as you know, sort of cash holdings and this sort of uses of cash is obviously quite important to investors. So if you could perhaps give me a little bit more idea as to sort of how much funds there are now sitting outside the automotive group, that'd be very useful. Thank you.
Well, the net financial assets position of the other entity segments is relatively insignificant. That's what I can say. And as I said, it's our internal financing what we are managing that way, and nothing else.
I'm really sorry to follow up on this, but therefore the 1.4 billion, if the net financial assets are relatively insignificant, where's that 1.4 billion gone? Is that now in the financial services?
Exactly.
Okay, Charles, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next question, please.
The next question comes from Ms. Laura Lemke from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead, madam.
Yeah, good afternoon, and also thank you for taking my questions. I have two or three, please. The first one would be on pricing. Maybe you could just give us a quick update how Q3 compared both to Q2 and also on a year-on-year basis. And then also my question related to that was that obviously your key competitor, Mercedes, now has a much more attractive product portfolio, and in the past they've been the ones that have maybe, you know, exerted a little bit more pressure on your segment overall. So I'm just wondering what the net effect is between Mercedes probably becoming more disciplined in pricing, but on the other hand, more competitive on the product side, just for you really. Is that a net positive effect? Is it neutral or negative? And then the second question I have is actually on your on Brilliance, on your joint venture partner, because when I look at the communication of the management there, it seems that they're being quite a little bit more ambitious really on the JV and what the plans are. So I think if I remember correctly, they basically target 600,000 units of capacity by 2015 year end, and also more than 600 dealers, and this is what they're communicating quite openly in the market. So I'm just wondering if what you think about this, and also if you could basically remind us of what exactly your targets are for the next couple of years, especially in terms of the capacity. And then my last question is actually on cash flow. You've had quite a big move in the other line, and I was just wondering if you could explain what exactly this includes. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Laura. First of all, Mr. Reithofer will start with some messages about our products from BMW. Mr. Reithofer, please.
I mean, as Mr. Eichinger mentioned, the BMW Group is in an excellent position for 2014. I mean, he said we have a young and attractive product portfolio, and of course, it will provide new momentum in sales. Let me give you figures. We will launch 14 new models, 5 models without predecessor, with predecessor, 2 series coupe, 2 series convertible, 4 series convertible, X6, X3 facelift, mini hatch, M3 sedan, M3 coupe, M3 convertible, no predecessor, i8, 4 series coupe, as a 5-door, X4, compact activity tourer, and Mini as a 5-door. I cannot see a disadvantage for us compared to Mercedes.
Thank you very much. Mr. Eichinger, then, please go ahead.
Well, first question about the pricing. So overall, I think this year we are expecting another headwind of 100 basis points for the whole year. If you compare Q3 against Q3 2012, it's a burden of roughly 50 basis points, and it's only a very incremental slight deterioration compared to the second quarter. So that's overall the picture. The reasons are still the same. It's an issue in the European markets. It's not so much an issue in all the other markets around the world. So it has to do with the crisis, definitely with the crisis in Europe. That was your first question. Then the third one, a BBA management. Well, basically, we know what we've invested so far and where our decision is. So actually, we have invested in Dadong and Tiexi plants, and the maximum capacity is lies at 400,000 units. So that's what we what is implemented so far. And further expansions are not yet decided. That is something that has to be negotiated with the partner within our board of directors meetings, and is not yet decided. So that's what I can say at this point in time. I mean, looking backwards, you could be optimistic if you think about the development in China in the same way, but that's a line of thinking, and it could come in a different way as well. But I would just want to make you know where we are. Actually, the maximum capacity is at 400,000 units and not more, and we have to take decisions to go further, and they are not yet taken. That was this point, and then your question about the cash flow movement in other items. So basically, other items comprise various items deriving from the liabilities area, such as provisions for dealer bonuses, liabilities deriving from service agreements, are those elements bringing the numbers up, and then that's basically the background of the increase.
Okay, all very clear. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Philip Watkins from Citi. Please go ahead, sir.
Oh, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions as well. And the first one was on the eliminations line. I was just wondering where that might come in for this year. And I think I might have heard this right. You mentioned that the leasing business is becoming a little bit more competitive. And what does that mean then for eliminations going forward into next year? Could that rise again? And then so the next question actually is on financial services as well. In terms of sort of capitalization of that business, Basel III and can have an impact clearly. Is there a need for more capitalization in financial services going forward because of that? Thank you.
Thank you, Philip. Mr. Eichinger?
Oh, well, basically, there we have two controversial effects. One that would cause higher eliminations, and that is the increasing leasing business, and it has to do with our activities in the United States, where we see that the market is picking up more and more leasing now. The other, and that is a positive, and it offset is an offsetting effect, is that that we are now getting more and more into a phase where we have a very profitable portfolio within financial services. So all the contracts of 2009 are now running out, and we are benefiting now from the higher profitability of our cars. Started at 2010. So the portfolio overall is more profitable, and as the profit elimination per car was higher, now we get the benefits from this elimination back in this column. And as it offsets the growing leasing business, we end up with a positive effect. And that is what you can see here under the eliminations. Then capitalization of financial services business. Actually, we have a very healthy equity ratio of 8.9%. We think that the financial services business is strong enough to generate enough profit in order to support the equity we need to underlay the business going forward. So that's our position from today's perspective.
Thank you very much. Does that also mean the eliminations line will stay relatively steady next year?
That's more or less our expectation. I mean, the underlying trend that we are benefiting from a very profitable leasing portfolio will be in place next year as well. The second question is, how much leasing should we expect next year? This question is still a bit open. As I said, we have not finalized our budget plans, and it has a lot to do with the business development in the United States. So one trend very clear, the other still a bit open, I would say. Right?
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Max Warburton from Bernstein. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. Two questions from my side, please. The first one is actually coming back to Charles Winston's point about the cash that has been channeled into the treasury function and then apparently relocated to financial services. Could you help us understand this a bit better? In your description and explanation of the net financial assets in the automotive segment, you do have a very substantial item that's classified as intergroup net financial assets, which I've always understood to be money that's been lent to the FinCo, but that can be easily recovered. What is different about the money that's gone across, for instance, in Q3 and seems to disappear compared to the number that's disclosed as a loan to financial services? Is there something different about this structure? And then the second question is on China. Your rival in Stuttgart is on track to buy 12% of its partner in China, and it seems that Chinese politicians, including the NDRC, are publicly talking about changing the 50-50 JV rule. Is it naturally something that BMW would be interested in pursuing? I mean, e.g., would you consider ever taking a stake in your Chinese partner? Thanks.
Thank you very much, Max. Mr. Eichinger?
Well, your question about the treasury function, I mean, within net financial assets, we have the money that you are lending to financial services. And the money you are looking for is paid via dividends, right? So the dividend payment to the other entities. And that's basically the difference. Then your second question about brilliance. So far, we have not taken a decision to do that. If you had, we wouldn't disclose it now.
Okay, thank you very much. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Fraser Hill from Bank of America. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon. It's Fraser Hill from Bank of America. I just wanted to come back again on this cash transfer from auto to the other entities. Should I take from what you said today then that this is going to be, all else being equal, if we assume the business is performing an equivalent level going forward, is this going to be an annual effect? Should we now assume that this will take place, broadly speaking, once a year of a similar magnitude? Would that be a fair assumption? And then following on from that, is there any implications for your dividend thoughts as you transfer this money out of the auto business into FS, or is that completely unaffected because the dividends are viewed more from a group perspective? Thank you.
So, we are getting deeper and deeper into this matter. So, basically, I would ask you to follow it up with our IR team because they have all the detailed information and it makes more sense from my perspective. We will give you the information that is available, of course. And I just want to clarify, this has nothing to do with our dividend payment. Right? That's internal financing, nothing else, as we said, and all the mechanics behind that, we're quite happy to explain it to yourself. And again, I ask you to contact our IR team.
I think it's a very good proposal. Please contact Mr. Schüssler or Mr. Meyer then afterwards, our telephone conference. Thank you very much. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Horst Schneider from HSBC. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon. It's Horst from HSBC. Two questions have been left. First of all, regarding thoughts on depreciation, I mean, we see now the CapEx increasing, but we have not yet seen the depreciation really coming up. So I want to know, especially with regard to 2014, to which extent should we expect depreciation going up? And would you classify this depreciation increase also as one future expenses? And then the second question that I have refers to the production level that we should expect for the fourth quarter. I mean, I want to know how much can you at all produce in the fourth quarter? We have got a very high comparison base from a year ago. And I want to know, should we work with the assumption that you have slightly increased capacity again, so that also versus the second quarter this year, the production can increase further? Thank you.
Thank you very much. So we start with the CapEx, Mr. Eichinger.
Well, CapEx is ramping up now. As we said, we had a low number in the first half of the year. The lion's share is now coming in the second half of the year. And consequently, then the depreciation will go up. So there will be definitely increasing depreciation in 2014 and going forward, derived from our investment activities we explained to you. This is not included into future expenses. Right, as we define it. So it's just a consequence now from our CapEx activities, from our investment activities. So that was one question. The other is production level. So quarter four will be below quarter three when it comes down to our production. Right.
Okay, thank you. Just coming back to depreciation. So is it fair to assume 300, 400 million euro increase next year?
Well,
is it too much?
It will be a low three-digit million number. That's right.
Okay,
This year.
Sorry?
This year. I'm talking still about 2013.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm talking about 2013, and will be definitely a little bit a higher number next year, as the activities are going further, and we are still ramping up capex in the fourth quarter.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Jochen Gerke from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon. Just two quick ones. First of all, on your ASP development, obviously the third quarter was impacted by Forex, but could you let us know on the wholesale basis, was this somewhere between your retail and production basis, or is there anything specifically that would explain, other than Forex and potentially product mix, that substantial drop in average selling price? And then secondly, for Mr. Reithofer, obviously we have the German government trying to persuade the EU to somewhat water down the CO2 targets with regards to 2020. It's very prominently in the press. What is BMW's position? Do you want to have the 95 gram in 2020? Would you see it as a phase-in, as a realistic outcome of the negotiation with the EU to the 2024, as is in the press? And how should we be thinking about rolling out new technologies of BMW in the light of what, at least from the outside, still looks to be a rather uncertain regulatory framework? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jochen. We start with the CO2 question and Mr. Reithofer.
I mean, under the current circumstances, it is a difficult question, but I'll try my very best. The BMW Group, I would like really to highlight, has no issue with the 95 gram per kilometer target average for all manufacturers within the EU. However, the implementation of the targets and the consequences at manufacturers and vehicle level are still subject of the current legislative discussions. That is where we are at the moment. And as far as we know, we are in a final stage, and that is my comment for today. If we have a solution on the table, you will get our comments.
Okay, thank you very much. Then second part, Mr. Eichinger.
Your question about average selling prices. So clearly FX was one effect on that, but we had another effect coming from the mix, especially regional mix. Then a third one from BBA, as BBA production was quite high this year. They have a fresh product portfolio, and in 2013 this makes difference. So the growth in the Chinese market was mainly driven by the BBA and not so much by the NSC. And there was a little effect derived from the wholesale offset as well. So those are the major four reasons for the average selling price.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Mr. Arndt Ellinghorst from ISI. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you, and good afternoon, everyone. I have to say, I hope the company, the mood in the company is in Munich is better than the mood on this call amongst analysts. So let me just ask you one question here. Do you think moving into next year, you're going to be in a better position when it comes to your product setup compared to this year? That's the first one. And then following on to Jochen's question on CO2, how should we conceptually think about the 95 gram industry average target compared to the 2015 target of 130, which you're already meeting, by the way? Are the costs to comply with 95 gram completely different to the cost that you had in mind to comply with 130 gram? Thank you very much.
So I think we start with a strategic overview with Mr. Reithofer and then Mr. Eichinger.
I mean, first of all, Mr. Ellinghorst, I said it already, we will launch 14 new models, 5 models without predecessor. Now, that means in 2014, we have a very young, let me highlight that again, a very young and attractive product portfolio. And I would like to mention again the models with no predecessor. It's the BMW i8. It's a 4-series coupe in a 5-door version. It's the brand new X4. It's the brand new compact activity tourer. It's the brand new mini 5-doors. So, and again with predecessors, a new 2 Series coupe, a new 2 Series convertible, a new 4 Series convertible, a new X6, an X3 facelift, a mini hatch, a new one, an M3 sedan, and so on and so forth. We are optimistic if it comes to our product portfolio for 2014.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Eichinger?
Well, Arndt, your question about CO2. Actually, I mean, basically, 130 gram what we achieved so far, that was done via conventional technology improvements, more or less. So improvements all around the combustion engine, drivetrains, and so on and so forth. Going down to 95, that's not possible with conventional improvements. So now we need to implement very advanced technologies like lightweight construction and electrification, plug-in hybrid solutions. This is now necessary in order to drive it further down. And of course, we are looking forward to a hopefully very successful introduction of the i3, because battery electric vehicles would help a lot. So we need to improve the existing combustion engine further, so we cannot rule it out. So it's one thing. So we are looking for the introduction of 3-cylinder engines, for example, and at the same point in time, we go for the electrification stuff and lightweight construction. And this has a cost, and that's all factored in into our guidance. That's the reason why CapEx has to be ramped up. That's the reason why R&D has to be ramped up now in 2013 and 2014 in order to be ready for serious production 2020. That's the background of the whole story, more or less.
Yeah, the reason I'm asking the question is because when we listen to other companies' calls these days, ramp up in CapEx, R&D, and all this isn't a big topic. And when I listen to this call, or basically the debate at BMW all of this year, it seems to be the by far dominant figure. Do you think you're in a different position compared to others, or do you just want to be so far ahead of the curve?
Well, basically, what I can say for us is we take the 95 grams seriously, right? As we did with our target for 2008, and as we did for the target for 2015. We don't know how the others are thinking about this. But if you take it seriously, for me, I cannot imagine how you could really achieve this ambitious target without investments in R&D and CapEx and new technologies. So that's at least our point of view. Maybe that they know better how to do it, but we think that's the only way forward.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining in our call today and for your question. On behalf of the BMW Group team, I wish you all a pleasant afternoon. Thank you very much and bye-bye.